Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It's hour two. We are loaded live in Los Angeles. Chilly Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. One of my favorite people, Dave Wannstedt, who is so connected, it's insane. Never met anybody this connected. Bears, Dolphins coach, Jimmy Johnson friend, ally with the Cowboys. Joy Taylor's joining us. Joy, that was the first celebrity Joy ever met, was Dave Wannstedt.
It was. Coach Wannstedt and I have many memories together.
You're a Pittsburgh girl. He's a Pittsburgh guy.
Pittsburgh and the Dolphins coached my brother. We rode on the bus thing at the Hall of Fame to my brother's party afterwards. Caught up. That took like an hour. Canton, Ohio is a very interesting place. I'm going to go from Canton to Akron, but yeah, Wannstedt's the best.
He'll be joining us in a couple of minutes. So it's interesting. You know, I don't want to get into too much Super Bowl stuff. That's what next week is for. I got Friday off. You know, I'll talk a couple days about the games. But the Brady Mahomes thing is interesting. They played four times, three in the regular season, one in the playoffs. They're 2-2. If you put the numbers up, this is an old Brady, by the way. This isn't Brady in his prime. This is an older Brady. This is Mahomes, I think, just getting into his prime for the next 10 years. Obviously, Mahomes has been a much more dynamic player. They're pretty close on completion percentage, but, you know, Mahomes, 11 touchdowns, 3 picks. Tom, 6 touchdowns, 5 picks. Yards per game, Brady's actually fairly close considering the weapons Mahomes has. Passer rating, though, not close. Mahomes, 109, Brady, 86. And again, this is the older Tom and, heading into his prime. Also, I mean, let's be honest, Mahomes has better weapons and a more clever head coach. Mahomes is clearly the more dynamic quarterback at this point. But my guarantee for the Super Bowl, if I could have one, is Mahomes will be much more dynamic when you watch the game. He'll make more spectacular plays. And B, Tom Brady will only win if certain things happen. Mahomes only needs to be healthy. If you say he plays four quarters, he's never hurt, that just could be enough. His defense could be bad. He could have two fumbles. Things could go wildly wrong, and Mahomes could win. Brady's going to need some things to win. He's probably going to need a special teams break. He's probably going to need a turnover break. He's going to need his defense to really rattle Mahomes, and it's possible because Patrick is missing Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz. But my feeling is Tom can win, and I think being at home helps. Having a great defensive front helps. The Chiefs having two key injuries up front hurts, helps. But I don't think Mahomes needs anything to beat Tom. If he's healthy, things could go sideways. He could have a pick six in the first quarter and a bad pick in the third, and he could still win. I don't think Tom could do that. Tom's going to need things, and he may be able to generate many of those things, but he'll probably need a blocked punt. The Chiefs fumble it at the 8-yard line. He's going to need a break. And that's okay because we know Mahomes is the more dynamic player. So, the Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. Subs are going to be here next hour. I am hungry already. You know what I mean? Talking about those things, I get hungry. My buddy, Fox Sports NFL analyst, totally connected, Dave Wannstedt, now joining us live from Naples, Florida. Yes, I'm jealous. So I said this earlier today, Dave, that Les Snead, the general manager, and Sean McVay, the coach of the Rams, have been very pro-player, but in the last month, they've gone after Goff publicly. And my guess is they did him a solid by signing him early. They've called his agent to redo the contract, and the agent said, we're not giving any money back. And so they're kind of trapped. Their futures are tied to Goff. I would argue this, Coach, that Goff is not. He's only $22 million a year. He's won 9 games with McVay. He's had signature wins. He out-dueled Mahomes. I think Goff, there's 10 teams that may need a quarterback. I think he's got a market somewhere. Do you?
Yes, I do. I think, now, personally, I think Jared Goff is one of these quarterbacks that can get you to the playoffs every year. But I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen it yet on a consistent basis that he can win a Super Bowl for you. And I'm going back to his college days, you know, when he was at Cal and they played Utah, the best defense in the Pac-12, and the USC's, you know, there was always problems. He had a tough time getting over the hump. And that's where I see him. I mean, I see him make some great throws. But I'll tell you what, with McVay, you could not have a more quarterback-friendly offense. I mean, truly, the way he, you know, draws it up and calls plays with the run and play-action passes, it's designed to give a quarterback that has some ability, which he has, success. So I think they stay with him another year and see if he can turn it around. But that's how I see it. Can he get you to the playoffs? Yes. Is he going to win a Super Bowl for you? I haven't seen that yet. I don't see it.
Listen, in the 8 years Belichick hasn't had Brady, six of them are losing seasons, and the other, he didn't go to the playoffs. Are you at least surprised at the gap in Belichick without Brady and how much he struggled?
No, and I'll tell you what, a lot of the things that Tom Brady, and this is from a coaching perspective that people don't want to give Bill Belichick credit for, Tom Brady, when you look at the influence that he's had on the whole Tampa franchise, and Bruce Arians has said that, this guy has influenced and taken our whole franchise to another level. Their turnovers are gone, their penalties are gone, doing the little things right. I have a nephew who's a trainer at the Bucs. I mean, just on a day-to-day basis, this is all Bill Belichick. Tom Brady didn't show up at New England and get this whole big picture from Michigan. So you got to give Bill Belichick maybe not credit for Tom's ability to throw touchdowns, but to be in position and put the team in position to win, that's all Bill Belichick.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. There's been a lot of coaching hires. A lot of them I don't get. Some I kind of like. Houston still doesn't have one. Is there one coaching hire so far that, you know, Brandon Staley, young guy, Rams to the Chargers, Arthur Smith, Atlanta, Robert Saleh, Jets, Dan Campbell, Detroit. Which one am I missing here, Joy? I'm probably missing a couple. Is there one that you look at and you think to yourself, okay, that's going to work? Is there one that jumps out to you as, oh, Urban Meyer to the Jags? Is there one you
right.
like?
Yeah, you just said it. I would say Urban Meyer. I mean, because the rest of these guys, I mean, some of these guys haven't even been in a playoff game or won a playoff game or, more importantly, made a decision in a playoff game as a coordinator. It's fourth and one. What are you going to call? You know, I mean, so I would say Urban Meyer, and we know all the reasons that they got draft picks and that they got extra cap money, but I think Urban Meyer is going to be able to lay out a blueprint that's a successful blueprint, and he's going to have success there. I talked to him last week about an assistant coach that he called me about possibly hiring, and he's got the blueprint, and he's not a micromanager. You know, he's going to set the foundation for the big picture, offense, defense, special teams, and his coaches are going to do the coaching. So I think that's the right approach. He's not going to be on the field trying to teach a 5-year all pro how to how to get off a block and make a tackle. He's not going to do that.
You know, Dave, your record is shockingly good as a head coach in the NFL, despite the fact you never had Pro Bowl quarterbacks and often in your division faced Pro Bowl quarterbacks. So if you have a star quarterback, sometimes you have to deal with some ego and stuff. Would you have been bothered by what Aaron Rodgers said after he lost? Almost kind of a little blame game. What do you make of what he said?
Well, I think the whole Green Bay Packer organization right now, there's what I would call friendly fire. And friendly fire within a football team I'm talking about is, you know, the defense is doing not enough. The offense is turning the ball over, the coaching. And there's some of that going on. You know, I saw Matt LaFleur said he don't know why we were in that call on defense. It was a terrible call when Brady threw the touchdown pass before the half. Well, you're the head coach. Change the call. That's how I see it. But I was not bothered by what Aaron Rodgers said because the emotions right now, I kind of felt the same way. I mean, I was all on Green Bay for that game, and it was a darn shame that they don't win that football game. And we all know the reasons why. So I think there was some real frustration there. I think what's going to happen, and what should happen, if I'm the head coach, I'm calling Aaron Rodgers in and saying, we're going to sign you. We're going to draft you a top free agent receiver. We're going to get you. You got to add some pieces to the pile to help him right now. I mean, you know, he got sacked by a four-man rush. And to me, that's coaching. That's kind of what the Bears have gone through. Release everybody out for a pass, and you got a left tackle that's getting beat, and you give him no help. He's a backup player. It wasn't his fault. You know, and they didn't. So, I mean, I would be frustrated, too, if I was Aaron Rodgers. Absolutely.
How about that? The coach sticking up for the – I like that. That's the new Dave wants that. I like that.
I watched the game, Colin. I sat there and watched the game.
No.
What do you want me to say?
No,
I just not listen. If I only listened to your show and never watched the game, I might have a different opinion. Jeez.
Okay.
No. Well,
let me throw this one out to you. So you're very popular in Chicago. Do you do radio hits? You're beloved. And anytime you're on, the ratings spike and they're going crazy. They want a new quarterback. And you've told me before that, and I believe you, you told me a lot of things privately about Mitch Trubisky. You're like, I can win games with Mitch Trubisky. I don't know if I can win a bunch of playoff games, but I can win games. And they actually, whether it was public or private or something, osmosis, they took your advice because the way they played with Trubisky at the end of the year was exactly what you told me in my ear for 8 weeks off the air, which is you can win games with Trubisky, just not a Super Bowl. So let me just throw this out. Deshaun Watson demanding to be traded. If you were Deshaun Watson and I could go to Miami and get a great coach, I could go to Chicago and get a great defense. I could go to New York and be a star. What would you choose? You're his agent. Where would you tell him to go?
I would go someplace with a new head coach that was going to run an offensive philosophy that I believed in. The only problem with Chicago, and I hope Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, the general manager, they're 10 years. But, I mean, they are on the clock to win next year. And boy, I'll tell you what, these quarterbacks – you can jump teams as a defensive lineman, and it works out quick. But as a quarterback with all the adjustments, you know, run game, pass-wise, checks, audibles, signals, I mean, there's so much at the quarterback position. It is not easy for these guys to jump teams. And to go someplace where you're not, where you don't believe you're going to be there 2, 3, 4 years, I think would be a mistake for them. So I would look at – if I was going to leave and I was going to advise Deshaun Watson, I would say – we got to look at stability first. Somebody that believes in your offense. You were talking about Mitch Trubisky. They did with Mitch that gives him the best chance to be successful, but I don't think Matt Nagy really believes that. That's not his offensive philosophy. They did it to try to survive, and which they did, and they got into the playoffs, but I don't think in his heart that he believes in that system. Get into a system.
That's good stuff. I always love having the coach on, honestly. Dave Wannstedt, Fox Sports NFL analyst. I'm not going to tell you where he is. It's a secret, but it's a very nice place. I'll just say that. Coach, good talking to you.
Okay, always.
He is so connected. And in my years, I swear to God, between him and Jimmy Johnson, they know where all the bodies are buried.
For sure.
Those guys.
For sure.
If I ask Wannstedt a question, he'll go, Chief, let me tell you. He'll either text somebody, call somebody. He has an answer every time. It's the most connected. I've been in this business 35 years. Never met anybody that connected. You just hang around Jimmy Johnson for a decade, you end up meeting a lot of people.
Well, think about where the two of them have been.
First of all, they dominated at Miami, and then they dominate Oklahoma State. They made it into a pro. Then they go to the Cowboys. Then he goes to the Bears in Chicago. He knows every owner. He knows all. And plus, Dave's such a nice guy. Everybody likes to be around him. He's one of those guys you always...
He makes you feel very comfortable.
Yeah, he's great stories. I once flew. This sounds so bougie. It's a long story. It's my first day at the company. So I did, my hair was all messed up. I did a Michigan-Utah game. It was the first thing I did. I didn't do the show first thing I did. It was Harbaugh's first game at Michigan.
Right.
And they played Utah, and they flew us back on a private jet. It was very nice of the company. And I sat next to Wannstedt. I was tired. He didn't stop talking for 2 hours. He told 30 stories. At one point, I sat and turned to whoever I was, the other people were, and I'm like, is this what he's like every day? And they're like, yeah. Dave just tells stories. And they were all fascinating.
Well, he's the best stories.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Saturday, Caleb Plant, one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in boxing, puts his perfect record and super middleweight title on the line against Cable Truax. Saturday at 8 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
Did you see yesterday what Aaron Rodgers called some members of the media, DBs? I'm not going to say the word on television. Not talking cornerbacks and safeties. He said, you know, the reason I spoke out, you know, I have to speak out sometimes is because all these blankety-blank DBs talk about me all the time. And my first thought was, I cannot imagine Brady or Russell Wilson saying that word or Mahomes saying that word publicly. My second thing is, Aaron, 90% of the coverage of Aaron Rodgers is overwhelmingly favorable. We fawn over Aaron Rodgers. I mean, good God, 5 years ago he had one Super Bowl. We were calling him the GOAT. Brady had like four or five.
I mean, truly, if it was anyone else but Aaron Rodgers in that moment not running the ball in, we would do a week straight.
We'd crush him. We would crush them.
Like, Matt LaFleur kicking that field goal kind of just made us forget that that even happens.
Yeah, like you said it yesterday. Matt LaFleur, Aaron should give a debt of gratitude, a thank you note to Matt LaFleur because he took the hit for the loss because of that play call.
Yeah, send him some scotch.
Some scotch. But I think this, Kevin Durant is just more sensitive. Aaron Rodgers is just more sensitive. Kevin Durant, 90% of Kevin Durant's coverage is overwhelmingly fawning. I mean, I've said before, he's the best. I can't think of anybody since Jordan that I'm like, I need a basket. I would take Kevin over LeBron just getting a basket. He's incredible. But he gets very sensitive to the 10% of negative stuff. Aaron is, I'm considered tough on Aaron. Go back and take my last 50 rants. 25 are fawning over him. And then about 10 are, you know, calling him out for some of his, you know, what I consider kind of, he's above what he's doing.
But I mean, it's not nice to call people names.
I know.
I do it sometimes.
It hurts. He called me a name yesterday.
Was he specifically talking to you? It felt like he was talking to you?
Yeah, I kind of felt like Aaron was.
Don't think you're a DB.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you. And McAfee let him get away with it. McAfee didn't even question it. Pat, journalism. I know you're a punter. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News, sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
Well, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, Aaron, I can confirm Colin is not a DB.
And that I don't hate Aaron.
And that he doesn't hate you, yes.
No, I this morning, he has a house in Malibu. If he came here, I would give him an hour, and I would let him take shots at me. I think Aaron and I in the air would be great.
I agree, that would be fun.
I would let him take shots at me all day long. I think he's a contractual thing. He wouldn't do it. But like I said with Baker Mayfield, I wouldn't give him a whole hour. I'd give Baker half an hour.
Baker came on the show before.
I would put Baker on here. In a second, I'd give him. I don't give anybody. I gave Bill Simmons and Bob Costas half an hour. I don't give half an hour. I would give Baker a half hour. Take shots at me. I don't care. But let's talk. We're
Baker came
ups.
On the show and did that.
We're men. Men.
We men.
Can men.
Face each other like men.
Give me a wrench. I'm a man.
Well, anyway, he made some comments about his future being uncertain, and then he sort of downplayed the speculation that he wouldn't be with the Packers next season.
Now, obviously, after the season that I had and, you know, potentially win an MVP, and, you know, we obviously made it another good run, I don't think that there's any reason why I wouldn't be back. But, look, I think there's not many absolutes, as you guys know, in this business. So to make an absolute statement about something that is not an absolute, just I didn't do it, you know, and I guess that's why I went kind of nuts.
I don't think he was nuts. I just think I prefer as a coach he didn't do that, but I get it. Like, I get it.
Well, he's not wrong in that there's no sense in speaking in absolutes. I don't think people speak in absolutes about anything. There are very few absolutes in life. So I get what he's saying. Like, why? What's the point of me saying I'm absolutely going to be back?
His Pro Bowl center and his Pro Bowl running back are free agents.
Right.
He could have, as Nick Wright said, what he's doing is telling his front office, re-sign them and pay for them.
I don't think that Aaron Rodgers is unhappy in Green Bay.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I don't think he should be unhappy in Green Bay. He has much more power, control, and influence in Green Bay than he may have in other places.
Isn't it fair to say this, though? He can... I got about 10 examples. He can do the passive-aggressive thing.
Oh, he's very passive-aggressive. Okay. Yes. But there's ways... That's how he communicates.
Okay,
though.
That's right. That's how he does it.
Yes. Like, that. I think that we can safely say that's, like, his tone and everything.
Yeah.
He's a little sarcastic, and that's just how he talks. But
I would like him to come on this show and kind of rip me. I'm kind of for it. I'm all for it. I really am. I like confrontation. If as long as it's
you
not...
You definitely like confrontation.
I like... I mean, Joel Klatt crushes me. Nick Wright crushes me. As long as it's not mean-spirited, I would never... But I would tell... If Aaron sat there, I'd say... Listen, you're a smart guy. You're smart. You're a little passive-aggressive. I would have no problem. If I ran into him at Nobu, I'd say that. If he came up to me and confronted me, I'd say, Aaron, you're a little passive-aggressive. I call you out on it.
Well, I think because he recently had a divorce as well.
Well, not...
It's Mike McCarthy.
Oh, yeah.
He obviously had a role to play in him not being there anymore.
Yeah.
And as of today, he was right.
Yeah. Quarterbacks have a right. Deshaun Watson and Aaron Rodgers have earned the right to have an opinion. Now, in Deshaun's case, he's doing it publicly because privately it's not working.
Right. And he probably did have those conversations privately and they did not live up to them.
And maybe in Aaron's world, he's having them privately and they're not working either. So Aaron feels like I'll drop a bomb publicly to get the ball moving.
Entirely possible. And I don't have a problem with him saying that after the game either. To Coach Wonsatt's point, these are extremely emotional moments. You just lost the NFC Championship game that you just lost last year on an MVP season. You really should have won that game. And, you know, what you say after that game, I'm not going to hold against you. Like, you're in an emotional space. That's why I was never mad at Cam Newton for being emotional for losing the Super Bowl. He just lost the Super Bowl. What's he supposed to be? Happy?
I don't like Aaron calling people names. I think I would say this. He's above that.
Yeah, I like to think I'm above that, too, but I still do it. Sometimes people make you mad. Tom Brady has proven that he can win without Bill Belichick getting back to the Super Bowl in his first season away from New England. Meanwhile, Belichick and the Patriots are well into their offseason after a 7-9 year, which was the worst record the franchise has had since 2000. And Tom Sr., Brady's father, took a little shot at Bill. He told the Boston Herald that he's guessing Belichick is on a little bit of a hot seat right now. He said that Robert Kraft reached out to Tom after the game to congratulate him on making the Super Bowl, and Bill didn't.
Hot seat's probably a little strong.
Well, maybe he doesn't know. Maybe he's just referring to the hot seat in the non-biz traditional sense of, like, you know, people are kind of coming at him right now, and we're just, like... He's under a little bit of a microscope of what he's going to do next. In the biz, hot seat means you're coaching for your job. Bill Belichick's job is quite secure.
But Robert Kraft is 80. Billionaires aren't patient. How about another bad season?
Fires Bill Belichick?
No, I'm saying what if Belichick goes 6-10 and then Mac Jones is a bust if they draft him? You don't think Kraft's going to sit down and say, maybe it's time the system gets revisited?
I think
billionaires are not patient.
They're not, but that is dramatic. Two seasons.
How about he goes? How about this?
This is only happening because of Tom being in the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah.
If Tom gets to the playoffs and they lose in the first round, we're not even talking.
Okay,
about
but if
right
a man
now.
And a woman get divorced and she marries Elon Musk, it does make the guy look like a meatball. That's
well,
the reality.
Only one Elon Musk.
Okay, what if she marries?
No, I'm saying like so what's like what so he has to then marry the equivalent of Elon Musk.
No, but if you're living in your car and she marries Elon Musk, there will be narratives formed. You got to do better than...
I mean, 7-9 isn't... But what I if feel like the Jets and the Jags are living in their car.
Okay, Miami's going to be better next year. Jets will be better next year. Bills will be better next year.
No, I'm with you. The AFC is a disaster for the Patriots.
6-10 next year, and Kraft goes, I'm hiring a GM. We're not doing this thing anymore.
That I could see happening.
I'm hiring a GM.
That I could see happening. I love this story so much. Obviously, Steph Curry is no stranger to criticism. And he's turned it into motivation to fuel his career, always doubted. And his former teammate, Andrew Bogut, revealed how much attention that Steph pays to his critics, even during games.
Go check he's mentions at halftime when he has a bad half. Kind of crazy to ever saw. Like, you know, he'd go on social media. If he had a bad half, he would go on social media and then come out and drop 30.
I'm fascinated by that.
It's such an amazing story.
People really, I don't understand this. Do not, I tell my daughter this all the time. Don't let somebody with no life ruin yours.
Skip told me a great piece of advice before I started Undisputed. Skip Bayless, yeah. Was that reading I mentioned was going to be a really bad idea.
Why?
Well, because some, as you know, this business is very specific. And I went to school for broadcast journalism. Like, I literally learned how to do all of this. And I know what I'm doing. And you know what you're doing. And our bosses hire people who know what they're doing. So some guy in his basement tweeting to me about, like, the way I'm saying a word or how I'm looking into the camera. Like, this is not what you do.
Right.
So you're going to read that, and then you're like, maybe I am doing that. Am I doing this wrong? Maybe, you know, George 647 is right.
Dennis Miller, the comedian, did Monday Night Football. Remember that briefly?
Yes.
And he had a great line. He goes, I don't want to read the critics. He goes, if they're complimentary, I'll get cocky. And if they're negative, I'll have self-doubt.
Yeah.
I do what I do. It lands where it lands. And I've always kind of believed that. I just do what I do. Yeah. It lands where it lands.
And the people who sign the checks are the ones we should be concerned about.
That's right.
With Steph, I get it. It's similar to what LeBron did. Like, you just find these little pieces of motivation. Now, that I can relate to. Sometimes, and I'm sure you're this way as well, somebody will doubt you. Or, like, tell you you can't do something. I mean, I definitely do this. If someone tells me I can't do something, I am absolutely going to do it.
You know,
it's not a question. It's going to happen.
Do you know the shirt, the T-shirt my wife wore to bed last night?
I do not.
It said on it, underestimate me. That'll be fun.
It's my favorite thing. It's better, right?
When
people underestimate you, then that's perfect. I love when people don't think I can do something. Now it's all on me. I know I can do it, so you're the one who looks silly. When you have high expectations, now I've got to reach them. Not that I won't, but it's a completely different dynamic. So like Steph Curry's out there having a bad game and he's like not feeling it, gets on Twitter and some goofball's talking about how he should retire and he's like, let me go drop 30. It's so great. I love it so much.
Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
This is interesting. DK Metcalf, great receiver for the Seahawks, was doing a podcast with Brandon Marshall, who is on our network in the morning. It's called I Am Athlete Podcast. And interesting what DK Metcalf, star receiver, Russell Wilson's go-to guy, had to say.
What happened to the Seattle Seahawks, bro?
Teams just started to figure us out.
Yeah.
We've been running deep ever since Pete got there. It's play action, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, go deep. Teams just said, we just not going to let y'all go deep.
I have two Seahawks who have told me privately they are frustrated with Pete Carroll's offense. DK Metcalf now is the third, although he didn't tell me specifically. So three of the 11 starters. Listen, there are three teams in the NFL that are known as rushing teams. New England's one. They have to. Have you seen their receivers? Baltimore's a second. They have a quarterback who at this point runs better than throws. I get it. And then there's Tennessee. Well, they have a mountain in shoulder pads in Derrick Henry. Seattle is the one that wants to be the fourth. Why? They've got a star receiver. Oh, and a really good number two and a star quarterback. Ask yourself this. The last four teams in the NFL this year, Green Bay, Tampa, Kansas City, Buffalo, all had two things, a star quarterback and a star receiver. Oh, wait, Seattle did too and lost a wild card game. What is Pete Carroll's insistence on running the ball? This is now the third Seahawks offensive player frustrated with Seattle's schemes. Now, Brian Schottenheimer's gone. Maybe it changes. But the smartest offensive coach in the NFL is Andy Reid. He has abandoned the run lots of times. Think about this. This stat's amazing. Patrick Mahomes has lost 9 total games in the NFL. 9 total. In those losses, opponents have scored on average 36 points. That's how you beat Patrick Mahomes. Going forward, outscoring him. Think you're going to marginalize him at 2017. It's not going to happen. The only way to beat Mahomes, he is now the standard, is you got to score about 36 points. Not going to do that running the football. That's why Lamar Jackson, has had great success against everybody except Patrick Mahomes. Lamar's not currently built to win shootouts against Patrick Mahomes. Could be, maybe, not currently. That's why Tennessee long-term is not built, probably to beat them. And if Seattle runs, either will they. Tyler Dunn, NFL writer, he broke a story about a year ago that was critical of Aaron Rodgers. Aaron didn't love all the things in it, but Tyler is a national guy, Packers reporter, golongtd.com, TD Tyler Dunn. He'll be joining us next. He won our Big J Journalism Award last time he was on the show. For the year, we gave a Big J Journalism Award out. We've only ever given out one. We invented it for him. We liked his journalism so much.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Tyler Dunn's a founder and writer at GoLongTD.com, enterprising football journalism. Go to GoLongTD.com. He is our first recipient of The Herd Big J Journalism. Came out as somebody covering the Packers and was critical of the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, and it got headlines. And I said, sometimes in smaller markets, it is hard if you're in Lexington to go after John Calipari. It's hard. I've been in those smaller markets. Tyler Dunn is now joining us live. GoLongTD.com. All right, let's start this. You covered Aaron for a long time. Passive-aggressive is sort of his MO. I imagine you weren't shocked by his post-game comments, which was a little blame-gamey. I thought a little blame-gamey. Were you shocked by it?
Not shocked at all. This is classic, right? I mean, this is somebody who cherishes the narrative, the headline. He knows the gravity of every word he says in that setting, right out of another NFC Championship loss. And he knows what's going to happen locally, nationally, when he questions his own future. It's oh my God, how could you do this to Aaron Rodgers? How could you not surround him with weapons? What is Brian Gutekunst doing? You have to make him happy, et cetera, et cetera. And we're not talking about the fact that he's now, 1-4 in that game. We're not talking about missing Alan Lazard at the end of the first half. Look, he played a great game, but he also missed that touchdown. Maybe he runs in for a touchdown there before Matt LaFleur's decision to kick. So, yeah, we're talking about his future instead of what actually happened. Very calculated.
Wow, that's interesting. I never even thought about it like that. So let me ask you this. Listen, everybody this morning is going to blame Matt LaFleur. And let's be honest, that may be calculating. How do you think LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers get along? The media now says it's great, 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 but it did feel a little stressful after that game. Do you think they get along great?
I think they get along fine. You know, I'm not so sure day-to-day what that relationship is really like. Look, winning cures everything. I mean, they've won a lot of games, and publicly everything does seem just fine. You know, I think that Aaron Rodgers is definitely projecting some unhappiness here, right? But by saying that with that slight chuckle, is that unhappiness because of Matt LaFleur? I'm not so sure. Is it because of Brian Gutekunst and the way they built this team? Not so sure. Does he want a new contract? I mean, that's something to consider here, too. He sees what Patrick Mahomes just got from Kansas City. He believes he's at the absolute top of his game. He's going to win MVP. Maybe he wants more money. I don't know if he necessarily wants to get the heck out of Dodge and be traded out of Green Bay. I don't think he's that dumb. I don't think he's dumb enough to demand a trade in Green Bay because, you know, that for somebody that cares about that headline and that narrative that's very central to what he cares about, obviously, or I don't think he wants to deal with that. But clearly there's some unhappiness here. And if we're going to take it a step further and ask why would he be unhappy, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that he was really happy with the additions to the defense.
That's right.
Remember, we got a defense after that win against Chicago in the opener 2 years ago. They did that. They've developed young talent. They have a lot of young talent on them, Lazard, MVS. And let's face it. Look, there were some signs at the end of last season that maybe he is getting up there. Week 17 against Detroit, not necessarily pretty. The NFC Championship game, I know the defense got bowled over by Raheem Mostert. Rodgers wasn't that great in that game himself. You can justify this if you're Brian Gutekunst, somebody who worked under Ted Thompson. Ted Thompson worked under Ron Wolf. This is just how they do it in Green Bay, Colin. I mean, you know it. You find your quarterback before you need one.
Yeah.
And that's what they wanted to do here. They believe in Jordan Love. They don't want to play him right now. And to cut to the chase, I think that Green Bay, I think Brian Gutekunst just look at this and they don't even flinch. They don't even blink. They let Aaron Rodgers play under his contract. They try to develop Jordan Love. If those lines cross, they cross. If Aaron Rodgers plays like an MVP, that's the worst case scenario. Everybody wins, right?
Tyler Dunn, by the way, golongtd.com for more information. In Green Bay for years and years, you know, they love their quarterbacks. Bart Starr before social media, Favre, and Rodgers. But, you know, I always get hate mail from Green Bay. It's a smaller, almost collegiate-sized town. Bigger cities are more prone to accept, like, criticism of their stars because the local media is a little harder. Do you think that Aaron does have an occasional critic? I've said this before. Mahomes plays with joy trailing in games. I thought Aaron sometimes plays tight trailing in games. He doesn't play quite the same. Does he get any criticism in Green Bay? Are there Packer fans that go, sometimes it's Aaron?
I think so. I think there are some realists out there, no doubt. I mean, I lived there for a number of years, and they want a winner. I mean, the expectation is the Super Bowl year in and year out. It's not just to get in. It's to win championships. So I think he does have critics out there. And, you know, I think the Packers do know that their actions in drafting a Jordan Love and anything they do, if something ticks off Aaron Rodgers, anything at all, they're okay with that. He plays his best when he's ticked off, when he's mad. And what's going to get you more mad than finding his replacement, drafting his heir apparent in Jordan Love? We saw it this year. I mean, he took his game to a whole nother level. I don't care what he says. I mean, that's going to be in the back of your head if your boss just drafted your replacement. I mean, we saw Aaron Rodgers play unbelievably well. So I think that Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur too. Matt LaFleur did his homework on Jordan Love. I mean, he's calling up David Yost, Love's offensive coordinator, and they're talking forever, getting the ins and outs of what makes Jordan Love tick. So this was an organizational decision, and they know the ramifications of this. They love the unintended consequences of this. Hey, maybe it is intended. And look, if the Packers were so bad, they wouldn't have been that close to making the Super Bowl. This was their year to have it. That was their game to win. Tom Brady throws three interceptions. You get 6 points off of that. They've got the weapons. MVS led the NFL in yards per reception. Alan Lazard had the game-sealing touchdown the week before, so don't give me that crap about no weapons around him. Give me those guys over Rob Gronkowski at this stage and Antonio Brown at this stage. There's enough there in Green Bay to win. And Aaron Rodgers played a great game, with the exception of a few plays, and now they're sitting at home.
Tyler Dunn is joining us, founder and writer at GoLongTD.com. Whole thing is fascinating to me. It is. Yesterday, Aaron was calling media people names, and he was just, you know, I got to have a, you know, I said I only got a minute left, but I did say, who is his sounding board? He's not married, apparently not tied to his family. Does he have, I mean, who is his sounding board? Are we, I mean, you tell me, when he was in Green Bay, did he have a tight social circle of guys, people?
You know, I'm sure there's some media members, no doubt. And I don't know, I would just be guessing on that.
Yeah.
But you're right. I'm not sure there is that, you know, direct person like we might have in our lives, day in and day out, to be that sounding board. Look, him being mad about some of this stuff is part of what makes him great too. You know, he is motivated by a conversation like this, by a conversation anybody would have about him being unhappy, not playing well, what have you. So, you know, it's funny. This is the number one story in sports right now, right, Colin? But I think at the end of the day, 2021, week one, he's going to be the starting quarterback. They're going to be a Super Bowl contender. Jordan Love will keep developing, and we'll be exactly where we were.
Yeah. Tyler Dunn, the 2019 recipient of the Herd Big J Journalism Award. We retired it. He was like Cronkite. There's nobody else in the class. Tyler, appreciate you coming on again.
Thanks so much for having me, Colin. Loved it.
You bet. No, listen, it's just fascinating. Aaron's fascinating. He's different.
He's very much like KD.
He and Kevin Durant are a little sensitive to stuff, and they'll attack it.
I like it.
No, that's good for
it. I like when there's different personalities.
You do.
Everyone doesn't have to be the same. And it's lots of great content, so.
It is. They're content creators.
They are.
I mean, listen, Wednesdays are the slowest days in our sphere. And he went and called, media people jerks and worse. And so it's a story. So I never deny that. I never deny. Someday he has a house in Malibu. I now live, I don't live very far from him. We'll run into each other at some point.
Oh, man.
And I would, the only thing I would be disappointed is if Aaron ignored me. If he ignored me, it'd be like, come on.
I don't think he would ignore
me. I would rather have Aaron come up and say, want to talk? And I'd be like, yeah, start yelling at me. I got no problem with that. I like confrontation. I'm ready to go. I say, as long as I get one shot back, you get five, I get one. I actually think we'd get, I know he'll say, I don't respect him. He no good.
I think you guys would get along.
I actually think we do. I really do. I actually think in a weird way, Baker and I would get along. Not all day, but for 30 minutes. Hour three next.